I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
And it's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday. Well, not quite every Friday, but most Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the nation's capital. Of course, I wasn't here last week. I was in Aruba. I was in Aruba last week for the week, and that was nice. You know, I'll say this about that. And let me give out the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. You know, I like going to the Caribbean, right? I like going to, you know, wherever, St. Thomas, St. John's, St. whatever's, you know, Aruba, you name it. I love the islands. But, you know, as a person who focuses on empire, imperialism, international politics, the oppression of the global South, of black and brown people worldwide, and red people, and all these people who are oppressed by, you know, U.S. and European colonialism and imperialism, right? That's what I focus on. A lot of people, so when people get into like, oh, the Democrats are good, the Republicans are bad, the Republicans are good, Democrats are bad, I see the world. And I see the world through the lens of a Black person who identify my roots with the working class, and who identify my roots with the poor, and who identify my roots with Africans and with the global South. And when you see the world through that lens, you don't, it ain't Democrats and Republicans anymore, because you recognize the consistency of the U.S. and the European policy for the last 500 years. Wait, they've been going around rampaging the world, stealing everything that ain't nailed down, and genociding brown folks. Okay, you recognize that. You recognize that every 100 years, the Western Europeans get together and attack Russia. They did it in 1812, whatever, Napoleon, 39, 40, 41, whatever it is, Operation Barbarossa, they attack Russia again. Every 100 years, they get together and they attack Russia because they want to steal all the Russian stuff, in the same way that they steal everything that ain't nailed down in the Middle East, in Africa, and what, you know, and wherever else people of color have some. I guess the Russians are officially black folks of Europe because they got a lot of resources, and the Western Europeans always want to steal them. When you see the lens through that, the world through that lens, it's very difficult, nay I say, impossible, to ever align with U.S. foreign policy. As I say, there's only two kinds of folks, people that understand U.S. foreign policy and people that support it, because if you understand it, you'll never support it. You won't make excuses for it. You won't say, fair enough, they're committing a genocide over here. My gosh, over in this country, they're trying to steal everything. Why, they're trying to overthrow the government over here. But I think they're standing up for democracy and sovereignty. In this instance, they're never standing up for democracy and sovereignty. They're always trying to steal everything that ain't nailed down. And they're always trying to rob the crap out of people, especially brown folks are high on the list, or black folks, or red or yellow folks, very high on the list. They happen to have a lot of natural resources that desperately need to be stolen by U.S. or French or British or European imperialism. And people like me stand up and say, I ain't for that. I ain't supporting it. I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to support it. So if somebody's going to say, you know, when it comes to this U.S. foreign policy, I think the CIA is telling me the truth on this one. They're never telling you the truth. They're not telling you the truth on any of them. They have to lie to you to get you to support their wars. Now, there are those who say, well, I won't support this imperial war, but that one over there, I think I'll support. I'll support none of them. I will oppose all of them, and I will push back against every last one of them. 202-588-0893. And when I go to St. Thomas, when I go to St. John's, when I go to Aruba, I see the same thing. And you know what that is? On those islands, any of these Caribbean islands, you will find the descendants of slaves and the descendants of the original native people of the island, and they're almost all poor, and they're working in the restaurant, maybe they're cooking, maybe they're cutting grass at the resorts, and they ain't getting nothing. And you will see a bunch of very expensive hotels and resorts and all these things. And you know what happens there? and all kinds of shops that sell Rolex watches and Gucci and all of this stuff. And a bunch of people come in to these islands. Billions of dollars come into the islands. And every one of those dollars goes back to New York or London or the Netherlands or whoever owns the island. And the people on the island get not nary a dime of it. And they are poor. And when you drive around the islands, the way the poor folks live, it's poor. And when you go over to the coast where the ships come in and all of the people come, there's Gucci, there's Rolex, there's Louis Vuitton, there's shops everywhere, diamond shops, watch shops, everything, the finest of everything. All this money comes into the island and the people on the island don't get nothing. Why do I say that before I go to the phones? One more reason I'll say that you should hear. Because that's what they're starting to do to us. That's what's happening right here. Americans are like, hey, my life is getting worse. You're getting treated like the islanders. What are they going to do? All this money comes into the U.S. and you don't get none of it. It goes to the military industrial complex. It goes to Wall Street. It goes to the tech bros in Silicon Valley. They're treating us the same way they treat the folks on that island. Lots of money comes in, but you get none of it. And it was eventual. And now, why? Why is that? Because you know where they put their money? They put their money in the Cayman Islands. But they put their money in Cyprus. They put their money in the Isle of Man. They have all of these islands that were once owned by the British Empire or are still owned by the British Empire that were set up as tax havens, as corporate havens, so that people who own Microsoft or people who own Apple could say, you know, the headquarters for my company is in Cyprus or the Isle of Man or the Isle of Jersey or the whatever, some island, some tiny little island where they don't have to pay any taxes or anything. And all the money. See, they have no stake in the United States. There was a time when a billionaire lived in the United States. And the billionaire was like, well, the United States has to be fairly stable because I live there. They don't have a country anymore. They'll live wherever. They'll live in the Maldives. They'll live in Monaco. They'll live in Dubai. They no longer have a stake in ensuring that the United States is a stable economic country because their money ain't staying here. And you're being treated like crap and you get none of it and it ain't going to get better. So when they tell you, support me in the war in Ukraine, in the war in Israel, hey, we want a war against China. No, we want to go over here and bomb Sudan. They're lying to you about all of them. They're not lying to you about two of them. They're not lying to you about three of them and telling the truth about one. They're lying about every single one. They are all imperial wars designed to keep this malevolent machine able to go around the world and steal everything. And the sooner you wake up to understand that, the better off you are. 202-588-0893. Let me explain one cool thing real quick. When you call and you talk to my main man, Kalia, who's handling this show, there's a 10-second delay. When he puts you on hold, if you set the phone down, when I call your name, you won't hear me for 10 seconds. You won't hear me for 10 seconds because there's a delay. You have to keep the phone at your ear while you're on hold so you don't have a delay. Also, speak loudly directly into the phone. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland. What's going on? Max calling.
I'm all ears, Max. What's happening, brother?
Man, I will say, it really is like, cause like, you know, we have our moments where we disagree, but I mean, like to kind of talk about stuff where we definitely agree on about the volatility of like the economy. I mean, like regardless Republican or Democrat, this economy is so volatile and now more than ever, it's just like everything they're trying to say, everything's all cooled down, you know, inflation's kind of subsided a little bit, beautiful bill. But at this point, with the trade war, because it's so crazy, you know, like, because as much as, I mean, we have our little, you know, debates regarding foreign policy. I mean, I think having good trade with other countries is crucial. And, mm-hmm, and now, mm-hmm, like Mexico's done, eventually going to be done doing trade with us. The tariffs, I mean, once, as much as Trump says that these countries are ripping us off, all the money that they get from the stuff that we import, they invest in our treasury bonds. They invest in our stock market. Once they pull out, and we go into another recession, like, and it's actually, like, not just because we're already in a recession, but we're, like, in an actual, like, visible recession, the hyperinflation and the runaway and the inability to finance this debt, I mean, it's going to be like Great Depression level in the next few years. And it's really scary as an American, just kind of, I feel bad for the working class. I just feel bad for the world. It's just sad.
Let me throw one thing at you. I would disagree that we're in a recession. Here's what I mean. A recession implies that it's of a temporary nature, right? If someone said to you, hey, I think they're having a drought in the Sahara Desert, you would say, no, that's not a drought. That's a Sahara Desert. They don't get rain. It's always dry. A drought implies of a temporary nature. A recession implies that we're going to come out of it. The fact of the matter is this. This country has been deindustrialized. We sent all of our industry overseas. How is 60% of the money, somewhere between 40 and 60% of all of the money that's made is on Wall Street through asset-backed securities, derivatives, credit default swaps. That's unproductive money. But they did it on purpose because they could make a lot of money. How does an economy come back? How does it restore? Is it restored when the money is made through credit default swaps and derivatives and asset-backed securities? There's no jobs for you and me. There's no job for the guy on the street. When the money is made through asset-backed securities, my argument is this ain't a recession. This is a new way of doing things, and it's only going to get worse because we have no industry. We don't make anything. We don't build anything except fake, false, phony magic on Wall Street that makes it appear that somebody's making money. Max, you get the last word. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I agree. It's just an economy that's just founded on just cheap, cheap, fake money. And I think more so what I mean, like, is that, like, we're as bad as things are right now, I think what I'm simply saying is that, like, I think, like, eventually something like 2008, like, will happen again. And I think what I'm saying is that, like, is that this time, I'm saying, like, we'll really feel it. Like, I think what I'm saying is, like, foreclosures on homes, I think massive unemployment rates. Like, I think what I'm saying is they won't even be able to, they won't be able to hide how bad the future is for this country. I think because right now they're able to hide. Yep. They've been propping it up on fake money, low interest rates, and just dumping the bond market since the 08 crisis, quantitative easing, when Bush got in and just started driving us into huge debts, and then it continued on through Obama, Trump, and Biden. And Trump's big bill, our deficits are going to now increase 500 to 600 billion annually, and it's just eventually it's just going to be really, really dark.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Thanks a lot there, Max. Thanks for the good news, buddy. Have a great day. All right. And don't even start me on the Epstein. If anybody wants to comment on Epstein, that's a whole another can of worms. But at any rate, next caller, 202-588-0893. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland. Much respect. It's Alex from Kensington.
What's happening, Alex? Did you want to comment on Epstein?
Since we're not going to, let's not. But let's
okay. Go ahead.
Let's
What's
deal with what you just dealt with Max while I got time, and then let me go into my little spiel. You know how I am. Maybe not. I think I'm an '80s birth child, so I was born in the year '84, and so I've served in the military. I've done a lot of things for this country. I've been up and out as anybody who's obviously, I mean, maybe not obviously, but I'm white and I'm pretty sure Max is too. The only thing that separates us is a generation gap because he's a really intelligent person. This Great Depression that he's talking about, this thing has been coming since the last Great Depression. And most of the lead facets are these things that you're talking about, the assets and derivatives, because ever since that Great Depression, what has our country ever done for our economy here? I'm not going to challenge EPA regulations and all this other stuff because that's obviously why they took everything offshore. But that's not a reason to do things that way. So, again, as you said, a recession sounds like, hey, we'll come out of it. I have to agree with you. If you build, you're going to reap what you sow. So
yeah.
I'm going to agree with you in that context. And then I'm going to start on my other thing and let you have your word because I think you had a lot more to say to Max.
Yeah, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. All right. But, well, and let me say this about
something else. Oh,
okay, good.
Okay. Well, I think a major problem in our country is that all these politics are related to Democrat or Republican. But meanwhile, the CIA and all these things that support domestic or foreign policy, they don't really tie to what is the word I'm looking for? A political divide, mm-hmm. right? They're not. Mm-hmm. And so in recent history, if we look at COVID as it's related to, I don't know, the release of the H1N1 swine bird flu vaccine that was in 2012, I'm pretty sure they dug up like thousands of in-year graves in Alaska because they were worried about the permafrost melting, which is also happening in Russia and Siberia, which also led to the release of the only known anthrax release in the last 300 years. Not going to get into that, but as that's related to the Spanish flu, the whole reason they did that whole dig up and made this H1N1 swine flu, bird flu vaccine is because they were worried about the Spanish flu, quote, Spanish flu, unquote. Don't know where it originated. It's called the Spanish flu because of all the United States,
you know where it originated?
Yeah, veterans true that ended up. And then when we look at that, when we look at the resources and the geographic, the geopolitical dominance of the Ukraine, well, it's odd that we have all these research centers that aren't related to any other research except biotechnical. And we can go back and here it is, the CIA release of these things that our government doesn't happen till what, every 50, 60 years until we find out the truth of what they really did. And then
we got to get running. We got a couple more
Americans should read. It's called Lyme disease.
Thank you very much. We got to get jumping. For those of you who don't know about the Spanish flu, where was the Spanish flu first detected? It was first detected in Camp Funston in Fort Riley, Kansas. That's where it came. The Spanish flu actually came from the United States. And soldiers took it over to, traveling across the ocean, took it over to other places, and then it spread from there. So it's interesting they called it the Spanish flu because it first showed up in Kansas. At any rate, 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Angela. I'm in D.C.
Talk to me, Angela.
Yeah, I was just wanted to pick up on what you were saying about St. Thomas, St. John, and Aruba. You know, I'm from St. Croix originally, and I have relatives from St. Thomas. I guess what I wanted to say is that in the case of St. Thomas and St. John that you mentioned, you know, these are American islands, so the United States has a particular responsibility there because the people born there are U.S. citizens, that they don't mm-hmm. have, you know, that's not a responsibility they have in the other islands. And also, you know, things are pretty much good as far as federal investment in the territories before the end of the Cold War. But since the end of the Cold War, there's been a disinvestment, but there's plenty of ICE and Border Patrol in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Well, let me say this, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you go, say, you go to St. Thomas, what is that, Charlotte, whatever it is, that name of that town? Yeah, the first thing you notice is this. The roads are crap and the infrastructure is crap. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm in the United States. And they let the infrastructure go like this. Well, now they're letting the infrastructure go here. But you realize the U.S., the only thing they do to understand that St. John's is to understand empire. The United States extracts money from St. John's. The ships come in, the people come in, and they buy stuff, and all of these billions of dollars go to St. John's. But the people in St. John's are poor. And the infrastructure, they don't take any of that money for infrastructure. They don't fix the roads. They don't do nothing. They leave those people screwed, blued, and tattooed, right? All of that money is extracted. Billions are extracted from St. John's. And now let's say Aruba. The Netherlands owns the Aruba. They do the same thing. These European and U.S. companies, this is what they do all over the world. They go to your country or your island or whatever. They extract all the money they can from that island, and nothing is left over for the people. And now they're doing it to the American people at home. And the American people who don't understand what's going on in St. John's or Aruba are like, hey, We don't understand that, but a person like you, you've seen it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing I would add is that, you know, the part that is ridiculous to me is that veterans from the U.S. Virgin Islands are buried in cemeteries all over the world. They've been, you know, had to fight in every war since World War One, since which is when the United States bought the Virgin Islands from Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. There's an old saying about a bayonet, right? A bayonet right. is a weapon of war with a working class person on either side of it. In other words, that's the game. The rich, the ruling elite start a war, and then they send poor people first, working class people, poor working class people, and most of the wars the rich don't even go. The rich people get draft deferments and all kinds of other reasons why they don't have to go to war. The poor people, the working class people, the people on the Virgin Islands, the people in American Samoa, the people in the ghetto, they all go and go to the front lines and get killed. But the people who own everything, they actually own the companies that make money off of war. Do you get right. the last word?
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, I wish things were different, but... And then the United States is never going to let any of the territories go. There will be no independence.
Oh, no. No, they'll kill everybody. If people try to get independence, they'll kill them all first. They bomb them flat before they let them get independence. Because you know why? Because as you know, they extract billions from those islands. Man, you go there. You know what's interesting? As poor as St. Thomas is, you go walking down the street on that island, I've never seen so many diamond, gold, jewelry stores in my life as you'll see on, say, a poor island like St. Thomas. And people, literally, rich folks, and I can say this because I know people who've done it, literally fly into St. Thomas just to buy jewelry because you can get such a good deal. Somebody will go in and say, oh, I bought $100,000 worth of jewelry in St. Thomas. Why? I saved $25,000 buying it there. The people there ain't getting nothing. That money, every dime of that profit is leaving the island.
Right, right. And you don't forget that in interspersed with the poor and working class people, there are billionaires living on all three islands.
You know why? Let me give you an example. Did you know that if you live in Puerto Rico, as an example, you don't pay federal taxes?
Right.
Did you know that? So they moved to these islands. So I'm a billionaire, which I'm not, but I'm saying if I'm a billionaire, if I move to Puerto Rico and become a Puerto Rican citizen, I no longer pay federal taxes. That's why. So they go to these islands. They don't really live on the island. They put a mansion on the island and they claim to live on the island so that they won't have to pay federal taxes. It's all a scam. Meanwhile, the folks living on the island, they got nothing. Nothing, nothing. Well, thanks a lot. Certainly appreciate the call. Very enlightening. 202-588-0893. Whatever you want to talk about. The Epstein is always an option. I want to hit that before we go. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, yo, brother. Mike from the district, brother.
Mike, what's happening, bro?
Yeah, first of all, I want to congratulate Trayvon White for winning these special elections over in Ward 8. Even though I know that the D.C. council member is talking about, you know, expelling the brother once again, which I find that to be insulting because Trayvon White, even though he got caught, he got busted for, you know, taking bribes, to me, he don't do nothing no different than the rest of these other elected officials do. You know, he just got caught doing it, but, you know, it, no difference. But then I started thinking about, you know, because we got a midterm election that's coming up right now. And if I was in Brother White's position, and I know they're coming after me anyway, I would challenge the president himself to come out to East of a River during Black August, because I know he's not going to want to recognize Black History Month, and explain to the blacks out there, first of all, why is he want to get rid of all the Black studies in these schools, you know, in education. Also, why do he and white conservatives feel they got any business telling Black people what kind of Black history they should be listening to? You know, and also, why should any Black person vote for them in upcoming midterm elections?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. Well, you know what I tell you, you know, on the business about the guy, you know, getting convicted of bribes. Here's what I have to say. You know, pretty much if you look at it, they're all pretty much crooked. And what they do is if it's somebody that they don't like, they take them out. You know what I mean? But as an example, let me give you an example. Okay, Diddy. Everybody talks about Diddy, right? People don't, they all talk about Diddy, right? Diddy did this, Diddy did that. I ain't saying Diddy is not guilty, in my opinion. It looks like he did a lot of terrible things that he was accused of.
But for the rest of those celebrities. No different.
Well,
the rest
okay.
Of those celebrities do. He just got caught doing it. And
okay,
like
but
said,
let
he
me,
didn't
let
like
me
him
say
and
this.
He wanted to go after him.
But why? Okay, here's this. Listen to this. This is what it was all about. About 7 months after Sean Diddy Combs sued liquor company Diageo, alleging racial demonstration and failure to promote the brand Ciroc and De Leon, both parties have agreed to settle the lawsuit. Okay, so he had Ciroc and he had this other thing. So he sued this multi-billion dollar alcohol company called Diageo, right? And he said, it's discrimination. He said, you only, sell these particular alcohols in black communities. You don't even market them to white communities. This is discrimination. So he sued Diageo. He sues the company.
Oh, okay.
They said, okay. They paid him off. My understanding is about $200 million, right? So they paid him off somewhere around November, something like that, of 2023, right? Somewhere around that. Interestingly enough, right around the time that he got paid off is when a whole bunch of lawsuits started popping up around that time. Within a few months after, I think he settled in February for like $200 million. 60 days later, they served a warrant on his house and charged him with all the crimes. So here's my point. I ain't saying Diddy ain't do it. He was dirty, rotten to the core, all of those things. But isn't it interesting that this British company, he sues them for the discrimination and they had to settle because you know they were wrong. You know they were dirty. They pay him off a couple $100 million. 60 days later, his house is raided. He's charged, raided by the federal government. He's charged with $100 million. In my opinion, they went after Diddy because he didn't know his place. They were like, look, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars, bruh. You're not allowed to sue us for discrimination. Of course we discriminate, but we're giving you your payoff. Shut your mouth. And guess what? If you're going to do that, within 60 days, we control the government. You will be charged. You will be humiliated. You will be degraded and torn apart. And we will make sure that everybody knows you don't ever sue us again and you don't disrespect. They made an example out of Diddy. I'm not defending him and saying his hands ain't dirty. Of course his hands are dirty. But the only reason they went after him, in my opinion, come on, put the timeline together. He sues. He settles in February, 60 days, which it takes about 60 days to put the case together and get all the warrants you need and all of that. They're raiding his house and the federal government's charging him. Are we supposed to be so stupid that we can't figure out that the two are connected? If he hadn't sued that company, that multi-billion dollar company, and got a couple hundred million dollars, they would have never touched him for that because they're all doing that.
But
looking
you know
at Epstein.
Let me ask you this.
You got any names off the Epstein list? Do you think you will ever get any names off the Epstein list? Diddy's gone, but nobody on the Epstein list is gone, are they?
No, because they're going to always protect the rich and the powerful. We all know that. But you told me something different. I didn't know about that thing. Now, I just thought you were talking about it. He sued that company. I didn't know that. So that's kind of new on me, though. And they had powerful people.
Okay, how about this? Okay.
Powerful people in the federal government, so he should have known better. Go ahead.
Yes. On Tuesday, Combs and Diageo announced the settlement in a joint statement of mind obtained by People magazine, writing that the music mogul and the company have now agreed to resolve all disputes between them. Mr. Combs has withdrawn all his allegations about Diageo and will voluntarily dismiss his lawsuits against this jail with prejudice. Continue the company statement. Diageo and Mr. Combs have no ongoing business relationship, either with respect to Ciroc vodka or De Leon tequila, which Diageo solely owns. Right? So the bottom line is this. He sued him. He's resolved it for like a couple hundred million dollars. And within 60 days, they were raiding his house and every TV show, every radio show, every newspaper was talking about Sean Diddy Combs. He was destroyed. They destroyed him to make an example and let them know, but you don't do that.
That should be a warning. That should be a warning to any, you know, black millionaire. Just because you're a millionaire or billionaire doesn't mean nothing with this racist country. If they want to destroy you, they're going to destroy you. And I mean, it's so many other examples that you can talk about. Oh, I think they did the same thing with Bill Cosby. You know, even though he did a lot of crooked stuff, but I think he was trying to buy NBC or one of them. Wasn't he trying to buy one of those major corporations?
Oh, no, but you know, here's the bottom line. If you go to Hollywood, the parties that and all this stuff, that the stuff that Diddy had, you think they ain't all remember Harvey Weinstein or whatever his name is? they're all doing that crap. And they want them to do it. And they facilitate those parties and they push it and they get video and they get names, because if you ever step out of line, they got you. They want like that to be done, so that if you ever step out of line, they always get. That's what Epstein was about. Epstein was about getting rich and powerful people to be caught in sexually compromising positions so that the CIA or the Mossad could yank their chain if they ever went out of line. People need to wake up. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, though. That was really interesting what you said about Pete Diddy, because I learned something new on that. But anyway, what plans are you going to do on the upcoming Black August? Who are you going to have come on your show?
I don't know yet, man. I hadn't thought about it. I'm glad you've just brought it up.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. Because that's the original Black History Month, and I made a special challenge to any Black millionaire or billionaire. If you see a Black person in duress, you know, use your money to help them. Because I remember, the richest man in the world, when he was buying boats, he was giving away a check for $1 million to people that entered his special contest. I was like, well, hell, if you give away $1 million, how come some of these Black millionaires and billionaires, or when you call some of these Black governor offices and you ask them for help, and they're going to say, well, they always try to refer you to somebody else. I'm like, well, wait a minute now. You got all of these multimillionaires and billionaires that's writing you checks for your campaign. You can't hit one of them to help people out? So, you know, that's a special challenge I'm making out for Black August. You know, just do something. Frank, honestly, I wish the Black community doing Black August, shopping all Black businesses just for 1 month. For 1 month, that's all I'm asking my people to do. But good show so far, brother. You told me something new, because I did not know that about P. Daddy. So thank you for that education, brother. Peace.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me just say this. Here's an article from January 16th, 2024. Diddy settles racial discrimination suit with alcohol distributor. Here's another thing. March 27th, 2024. Sean Diddy Combs, L.A. and Miami Combs raided by law enforcement. Right after he signed it, he sued DiGeo, this multi-billion-dollar company. They settled. They paid him off. And within months, he had to go. All of his homes was raided and he's been crushed. And might I add, who was handling the case? You know what's interesting? James Comey, former FBI guy, right? His daughter was one of these federal prosecutors. She handled the Ghislaine Maxwell case. She handled the Diddy case. You notice something? Why they put the same people in all these cases? Anyway, next caller, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Zeke.
Next caller. Oh, there you go. You're on the air right now.
Yes. Do you know how hard it is to hold on to this phone and listen to this comment? It's really stressful on my ear. I see why people lay it down and move away. Anyway, let me move on to this. I read the other day that they are only going to give people 2 years with the HUD program. After that, you have to move on. Can you shed some light on that for me?
Now, what do you mean? What do you mean the HUD program, 2 years? Explain. I don't understand what you're saying.
The Section 8, people who are in Section 8, like myself, mm-hmm. and people who receive checks from the government to pay for their housing, they're going to come up with this program where you only have 2 years that you can collect that money. After that, you have to get off the program, find your own housing and everything.
I don't know. I know it's been proposed, but I don't know that it has happened. It wouldn't surprise me, to tell you the truth, because what you're going to see as the U.S. government is going broke for the people is they will take the money that they give to people, to the poor, to the working class, and that money will all go into the international machine. Might I add, did you know this? They just increased the military budget by $150 billion. It went from 850 some billion a year to a trillion a year. But that's not including all the other stuff. So the bottom line is, it wouldn't surprise me, because they're taking money from the poor. It's a reverse Robin Hood. They're taking money from the poor, and they're going to put it in the hands of the richest people on this earth, in fact, as people slowly, bit by bit, see that happen, we're going to see everything for the poor, everything for the working people be decreased. They've been doing it for years. They're just continuing it, and it's going to ramp up even faster. I hear that that's proposed, but I don't know that it's gone through yet. But it's a proposal. It won't surprise me if it doesn't go through.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes. Hi, it's Louise from Baltimore.
Hey, what's happening?
Am I speaking up louder this time? I hope.
You know what? You're loud and clear now.
Okay, great. What I wanted to talk about is the corrupt Supreme Court, or the court system, period, the corruption. Yeah. Well, I was struck by the fact that they were saying that Justice Roberts was chastising Trump. And that's what I want to talk about, because nobody was ever talking about this, about how Justice Roberts was chastising Trump about criticizing, you know, the judges. And he was saying, you know, go through the process don't criticize the judges, just go through the process. And to me, everybody was saying, oh, well, you know, Justice Roberts had to step in. He finally had to step in and chastise Trump. But I didn't see it that way. And I wanted to know how you see it. I saw it as Justice Roberts coming out because he couldn't speak to Trump, even though I guess he could have. Justice Roberts coming out with a cold language, telling Trump, just let it come to the Supreme Court and we will take care of it. That's how I saw that. And, you know, I wanted to see how you saw it, because I was like, he isn't chastising Trump. He's basically just telling Trump, you know, look, just come to us and we'll take care of it. And basically that's what he's done. And they've basically taken care of everything that, you know, everything he wanted to do. They're letting him, you know, letting it all go through. And, as far as the guy who said the Republicans have to come to black people and basically plead the case of why we should vote for them, the Democrats have to do the same thing. Because I'm like wondering, you know, the Democrats have laid the groundwork for everything the Republicans have done so far.
So, well, you know, and let me say this. The Democrats and Republicans, they come together and say, vote for me, right? To me, and this is me, I'm an independent, I couldn't see why anybody would believe any of them. You know what I mean? You know what I find interesting? Let me throw this at you. Biden, Build Back Better. Trump, Big Beautiful Bill. Build Back Better to the Big Beautiful Bill. It's like they looked at it and they said, we need some propaganda for the Republicans. What worked for the Democrats? Well, Big Beautiful Bill sound good. Build Back Better sound good. We ran it through focus groups and the people bought it. We didn't do anything that we promised to do, but that's not important. Biden, we promised things, we didn't do none of it. All of the money went to the military industrial complex and the building. But Build Back Better sound great. And Trump was like, well, all the money's going to go to the military industrial complex and the billionaires with me too. But that BBB thing's good. I think I'll go with Big Beautiful Bill. Some Build Back Better to Big Beautiful Bill. They're going to lie to us. They're going to give every money to the military industrial complex and Wall Street. The rich people are going to get everything. They're going to start wars for our children. They like to send our children to some nice wars to all get killed. But all we get is from Build Back Better to Big Beautiful Bill. Oh, don't they just sound great? Your thoughts?
Well, my whole thing is that we're not their constituents. You know, so especially anymore, especially since the 80s, the Democrats said if we can't beat them, we're going to join them. So we're not really their constituents anymore. And first of all, and secondly, it's, to me, it's like, what are we going to do about it? Even though our purchasing power is going because they're basically creating more unemployment and taking our tax dollars and giving it to the rich. I just don't think that we should keep pumping money into this economy. This whole thing with Christmas in July and Amazon week or whatever it is and, you know, all this and all that. Why are we still, you know, buying stuff, giving money to these billionaires when they are not returning the favor, when they're taking the money and running? So, you know, I don't understand. It's like we support our own oppression. So that, you know, that's my whole my thoughts on it. And, you know, everybody knows that, you know, Biden, and I was talking about Max when I called him. I was calling him last week because I think that Max kind of contradicted himself about Biden. But, you know, they're both parties' constituencies. And we're not their constituents anymore. It's, you know, all the billionaires.
Do you remember what George Bush said after 9/11? He said, go shopping. He said, get down to Disney World in Florida. Quote, take your families and enjoy life the way we want to be enjoyed. After 9/11, Bush said, go shopping. Go spend some money. Go make some money for the billionaire. That's the answer to everything. The answer to everything is go buy something from Amazon. Jeff Bezos needs some more money. So you're hip. The game is we are consumers. Our job is to make as little as they can possibly pay us and spend all of it. And then we're supposed to fight. The Republicans are supposed to blame the Democrats, and the Democrats are supposed to blame the Republicans. And then here's what's hilarious. Right now, the Democrats are now in Congress, and they're like, we're demanding that the Republicans release the Epstein list. The only reason they won't release the Epstein list is because Trump was on it. And I'm like, well, Epstein got arrested in 2019. The Democrats had the House and the Senate and the presidency. They had the White House from 20 to 2024. They never dreamed of release of the Epstein list. And now that the Republicans in charge, the Democrats are like, why won't they release the Epstein list? For the same reason that you wouldn't release the Epstein list, because your names are on it, just like their names were on it. And the only reason you're asking them to release the Epstein list is because you know they won't. And if the Republicans suddenly said, okay, we're going to release the Epstein list, the Democrats would go, you better not. We just said that. Come on, don't take us seriously. It's hilarious to watch this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing they did after 9/11. And Bush, he told the truth. He said, you know, you knew. And when they were saying, oh, you know, you knew it wasn't any weapons of mass destruction. I'm talking about, I'm not 9/11, mm-hmm. the Iraq war, or so-called war. Bush said, you knew the same information I did when they were trying. And then Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi, she sits up there and says, when everybody gave them, you know, the veto proof and the presidency, the speakership, she says, oh, impeachment is off the table. Impeachment is off the table. And because Bush told the truth. Bush said, you knew just as much as I did. You knew it was a lie just as much as I did.
Guess what? It came out later when actually John Conyers said to me personally that he wanted to go after Bush and Karl Rove. He wanted to go after them for torture. And Nancy Pelosi said to him, if you do, I'll replace you as the head of the Judiciary Committee. But it came out later that Nancy Pelosi had been briefed by the Bush administration that they were doing mm-hmm. torture. She could not mm-hmm. allow an investigation because mm-hmm. she knew about it. In other words, you know, look, we're always going to get this. The Democrats and the Republicans are fighting it out. It's a pillow fight. It ain't a knife fight. Thanks a lot. Next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next call. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Peter. Upstate New York.
All right. You
mentioned about a year ago about these videos that are stolen, and I have been watching that since. And I noticed this one particular whole series of videos where the mimic somebody or other was taking stuff from Colonel McGregor and Larry Johnson and all kinds of very popular commentators, putting them on the air or putting them on the web as his. And recently, that whole website, his website, disappeared. But also, I've noticed that you can see instructions on how to steal somebody's videos right online. There's training available on YouTube.
I'm sure.
For doing that.
I'm sure. I mean, yeah, that's something that happens on YouTube all the time. Let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on the Epstein fiasco?
Well, Epstein was so useful for Israel, and so he was collecting dirt on all the major politicians. And so, you know, he really got them on board with Israel. Anything Israel wants to do, that plus Israel is very generous with their contributions. And so the U.S. gives Israel lots and lots of aid, and then Israel turns around and spends it on influencing American politicians and European politicians.
Well, let me give you an example. Here's an article, July 18th, 2025. This is from the Times of Israel. Netanyahu said to have offered Lewinsky tapes for Pollard. A new critical book on the Clinton family claims that Israel taped White House phones, blackmailed presidents with recordings of intern. Israel attempted to use tapes of former U.S. President Bill Clinton's steamy conversations with intern Monica Lewinsky to leverage the release of Jonathan Pollard, who was an Israeli spy that spied on the U.S. So think about this. Netanyahu comes to Clinton and says, you know, this whole Monica Lewinsky thing? Yeah, I got tapes of all your conversations. How do you think he got those? How do you think that Benjamin Netanyahu got tapes of all of the conversations between Clinton and Lewinsky? Because the whole thing was a honeypot scheme. The reason that Jeffrey Epstein checked into the White House like 19 times during the Clinton administration, in my opinion, is because he was running the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. The whole Monica Lewinsky thing was an Epstein-style operation. The woman, Linda Tripp, and anybody can look this up, the woman who was at the center of the Monica Lewinsky affair thing was a woman named Linda Tripp, right? The woman who talked to Monica Lewinsky and recorded all of the conversations. Look it up. She worked at Fort Meade for military intelligence. Where was she working at the time she was talking to Monica Lewinsky and recording all of her conversations? She was working at the Pentagon. She was military intelligence. The whole thing was an Epstein-style operation. For whatever reason, they needed more compromising information on Clinton. They set it all up. They set him up with Monica Lewinsky. They recorded and taped everything. And when they needed it, they used it against Clinton to straighten him out because apparently he wasn't doing something they wanted. But they set the whole Monica Lewinsky thing up. All right. I think we lost them. So if you look into the Monica Lewinsky thing, the whole thing was the Epstein-style thing to set up Clinton. Not that Clinton's hands was clean. Clinton's hands was dirty, but they constantly do that. It's something they constantly do, is they set people up with these sexual escapades so they can use that whenever they'll need it to make the person do what they want. All right. We got any more callers? 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Nick? Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Hello, how you doing, Garland? My name is
Wonderful. Pecan,
Southwest. I just wanted to give a quick quote I recently heard. I just wanted to give it and hang up real quick. Let's see. The great chief, Sitting Bull, says the European is astonishingly greedy and violent and foolish.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. 202-588-0893. Well, see, in the end, I think you got to talk about the U.S. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ruling elite. The ruling elite of Europe has been nothing but criminals. That's why every now and then, such as, the French Revolution. The French Revolution had it right. They realized that the ruling elite was not their friends, and they set up some guillotines. Maybe didn't work out all that well, but I'm just saying they understood who their enemies were. The working class in some countries every now wake up and realize that the ruling elite, that some working class person says, hey, perhaps it's not the Trump people. Perhaps it's not the unions. Perhaps it's not the other working class out there. Perhaps it's the ruling elite that's screwing me over. Every now and then, some working class people wake up and figure that out. Unfortunately, most of them don't. We are directed who to hate. We are told who to hate. You should hate Trump. You should hate Trump supporters. You should hate Putin. You should hate Assad. Or you should hate Maduro. They give you who to hate. Ain't nobody giving me my enemies. I can figure it out on my own. My enemies are right up there on Wall Street. They're on Capitol Hill. They're in Silicon Valley. They ain't in Russia. They ain't in Syria. They ain't in Venezuela or Cuba. Sorry. They're not Trump supporters who are working class people. Those ain't my enemies. My enemies are the ruling elite. And the ruling elite is always going to try to give you an enemy that's their enemies. They're going to try to enlist you in their wars, in their battles to steal more and keep us fighting against each other. Why do you think they want the North Koreans and the South Koreans to fight? Why do you think they want the people in Taiwan who are Chinese and the people in China to fight? Why do you think they want the people in Ukraine who are Slavic and the people in Russia to fight? Why do you think they want the Shiite Muslims to fight against the Sunni Muslims? Do you see a pattern here? They'll go into Africa, and if there's two tribes, they'll say, this tribe right here, your enemies are that tribe over there. And the working class people, they want the black person, you should fight the white person, you should fight the Puerto Rican person. It is getting working class people, getting people who are similar, people who have similar backgrounds, similar economic needs, even similar ethnicities to fight against each other on behalf of the ruling elite who are robbing us all. I ain't buying it no more, and I hope you ain't either. 202-588-0893. We got any more callers? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, sorry, it's Alex again from Kensington.
What's happening?
I normally wouldn't call back, but you said Epstein was off the line. But if he's on the line, then let's go back to like what I was saying with this CIA 50-60-year thing. We go back to Chapo. If we asked him, he had help. Who did he have help from the entire time? The CIA.
El Chapo?
We don't have to wait 60 or 50 years because he already died in prison. But we all know from these Epstein files, he had help. And I'm glad you mentioned Netanyahu and Bill Clinton and Linda Tripp because it goes that far back. And that's how quickly that got shut down. We didn't have to.
You know what's interesting? Here's what's interesting. You're one of the very people that knew this, and I've reported on this before. You can go online and find it. El Chapo struck a deal with the DEA while he was running drugs. The deal that he struck was that he could run drugs into Chicago and other cities in return for him giving the DEA information.
Thank you. Thank you.
On another one of those cartels. And if somebody thinks I'm making it up, just search it for yourself. It's easy to find. The CIA and the DEA. Guess what? Here's something you might not know. Under the Biden administration, a group of assassins went into Haiti and machine gunned the president of Haiti. His name was Jovenel Moïse. He was one of their puppets, but he wasn't doing what he wanted. So the Biden administration sent some assassins in to machine gun him, and they machine gunned him. And by the way, when the assassins got caught, the United States government said, yes, we got to go in and grab two of them and bring them back. We'll just prosecute them here. And it came out that the assassins were trained by the DEA. The DEA trained the assassins that went to Haiti and machine gunned the president of Haiti. That was all set up. And then the U.S. government went and grabbed two of them and brought them back here immediately and said, oh, we'll handle the prosecution of that, which, of course, they're not. Then they went to court and said, we cannot provide to the court the documents that demonstrate the ties between the U.S. government and these assassins because it would be bad for national security. In other words, the Biden administration machine gunned the president of Haiti and then stuck in another president. Might I add, the president of Haiti right now that the United States government stuck in power is Bill Clinton's former assistant. Look it up. Anybody don't believe me? He was Bill Clinton's former assistant. He is now installed as the president of Haiti after the Clintons made $1 billion in donations after the Haitian earthquake and stole every dime of it. They built 6 houses and a hotel. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. We're just about out of time. So the bottom line is this. I mean, that's why I say, if you think the Democrats are the good guys or the Republicans are the good guys or whoever your party is the good guys, I'm sorry. You don't understand the history of what's going on here. I understand I'm a Black person, and Black folks, we are trained by this system to see politics only through the lens of color. We're trained to say the only reason that people voted for Trump was because he's racist and they're all racist. We're not allowed to look at, we're trained not to look at the economics of this thing, not to understand the economics of all the money going to not, we're told to just only talk about politics. Gay people now are taught only see politics through the lens of the LGBTQ. If you're a woman, you're trained only see politics through the lens of feminism because they don't want you to see politics through the lens of economic class, because then you'll figure them out. All right. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job, as always. I want to thank all of my callers. And by the way, you know I'm a househead. You know I love my house music. Here's a nice new house song that I got for you. A buddy of mine sent me from overseas. It's supposedly hot over there. Thanks a lot. I'm out.